Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So good, so good, so good.
Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
Hey, this is Justine from Two Black Girls, One Rose, and I'm here to tell you about Zola. How weird does it feel to be called someone's fiancé? The first time you hear it, you do a double take. From there, it's let's enjoy this moment, turns into we're planning a fall wedding, and I am right there right now. That's where Zola comes in. From a venue and vendor discovery tool that matches you with your dream team to save the dates, website, and an easy-to-use registry, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom? Like why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Woohoo! Exciting!
And this one is a really, really exciting episode. We spent the last 3 weeks studying this book, The Chronicles of Mia Naya, and we finally come to the fourth episode, and I promised you that I would get the author on, and here he is. Welcome to the show, Joe LaRosa.
Welcome.
Hi, folks.
Now, I've lost my thread a little bit because I just realised that we started this podcast once and I'd completely forgotten to screen record Joe, so now I'm on the back foot. Well, let's dive into the book. This book, it's an amazing story, isn't it? We've been studying it for the last 3 weeks. Some fantastic stuff in there. It's our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. It is a borderline unbelievable, but it's such an amazing story. It's very compelling. I do hope that people out there are buying this book and reading it for themselves. Mm-hmm. Joe, what inspired you to actually write this book?
I needed people to understand that there was more to this reality than people actually realise. And that's the main reason why I wrote it.
And it definitely portrays that, I would say.
Yeah, I think it opens minds.
Yeah,
because when you first started reading it in the first part, I was actually going along with it, thinking like, yeah, this is actually it wasn't too far fetched. It was
it escalates, it builds slowly, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and obviously there's all kinds in there. There's different dimensions, psychic abilities. There's spirits and calling and artifacts and I loved it because we said it in the first episode, it kind of reminded me a bit of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's very much like that. And there were some real tense moments in the book as well. Yeah. And it was really edge of the seat kind of listening. And especially in the second episode where I didn't really speak much because listening to your every word and I just couldn't believe and fathom some of the stuff that Joe had gone through and what had actually happened and occurred. Yeah. So it's a real, real good read.
Yeah.
Good
and
story.
Actually, my second sort of question is, in my research of your book, I have come across some reviews from people who are a little more sceptical than we are, who believe this is a work of fiction rather than not fiction. Obviously, this is kind of your biography, it's your life story. So what would you like to say to those people?
As I said before, they weren't there and they haven't experienced what I've experienced. And you've got to be there to realise the enormity of what that book contains.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I feel that in our first take, you asked Joe about religion. I would like to just expand on that a little bit before we dive into that. To me, the whole concept of Mianaya seems like it's older than what we consider to be religion these days.
Correct.
I was talking about this on YouTube yesterday with one of our followers. All of the Old Testament is the same, no matter whether you read it in the Bible, the Torah, the Quran. You know, it's up until when the prophets start getting involved, it's all the same. And those stories, in turn, come from older religions that had similar stories back then as well. And it seems to me that this Mianaya is kind of the OG of all that, the original of all that, the original idea. It predates religion, if you know what I mean. Do you get that kind of feeling?
Definitely, because from my perspective, the religions that we come to know now are only, I call it the front piece. The actual true essence of the religion is actually mystical in nature.
Yes.
Mm. And the stuff that's basically pushed out for the masses is not what you want. It's the mystical side of the religion that actually holds the knowledge that you require to try to further yourself and move forward in your life, and also in understanding as well.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
No, it does make sense. Yeah. I have a question, if I may.
You may.
So, with the Mianaya group, there were nine altogether, nine of you altogether?
It varied, but in essence, between 9 and 11.
9 and 11.
Okay.
9 and 11. So, and obviously we started off with the green stone.
Yeah.
And am I right in thinking you all had a task to get your own stone? And yours was it the black stone? Yeah.
Mine was the purple stone.
The purple stone. Sorry, my apologies, Joe. Where are the stones now? Are they still around? Are they in a case somewhere? Are they in a different dimension?
In a museum? Or?
Most were destroyed. Some were lost. One, as far as I'm aware, disappeared from where it had been put. I've still got the purple stone. The blue stone is still around. But I know that quite a few of them were destroyed.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not surprised of all the different tasks and things that you had to endure and go through. A lot of them seemed very tense.
Yeah.
Especially when Graham was having people speak through him and all of that. That seemed like real tense moments. At any point during all of that, were you scared a little bit about what might happen as it was happening?
That was a good question. Initially, I would have stepped into where devils would fear to tread. That's the poor guy I was because of the experience I had when I was younger. But I soon learned that you've got to be extremely careful and extremely wary, thinking that you know too much, because in fact, you know nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And something happened on the boat, which I write about, and it made me understand that you've got to be extremely careful about what you're doing.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Now, going back to, you said that some of the stones were destroyed. One of them disappeared from the location it had been put in. Do you feel that this Mianaya experience doesn't end with you? Do you think that these artifacts and the stones and stuff have dematerialized from this world to go back to the dimension that you apported them from, for maybe the next people to have a go at? Or do you think that the final test in this book, in your experience, is actually the final test and nothing will happen again?
No. I think this thing, in fact, actually, from what I understand, the Mia Nye story goes back way, 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 way back in time. And what happened to us and the final ending of that book, from my belief, it is carrying on. Maybe another group has been put together. I don't know.
Sometime in the future.
Certainly from what I believe, it's not the end. Because I don't think the task that we were meant to accomplish, we actually accomplished.
No, that's one of the explanations that I used, or an analogy, if you like, to try and explain to Josh was, I wouldn't imagine that you're much of a computer game playing man yourself, Joe.
Not really.
No, but there are genres of computer games where you have an open world to explore, and you go around and you just pick up little missions here and there. And this is the way I kind of felt this book was, is you've got this open world and you're just directed to these little missions, and whether those missions are, you know, completed correctly or not, you can still move on to the next mission. You can choose to do another mission. But unfortunately, the way I feel like it's presented in the book anyway, is that there's maybe like an end game, an end door or something like that, you know, a finishing line that you can only cross if you've 100% completed all of these missions. And obviously in this book there were quite a few mess ups, you know, certain things didn't get quite done right, and when you got to that finishing line, it was, you know, at the end of the book they're like, well, actually, you know, you haven't quite got everything spot on, so it may go on to the next lot of people or something like that. That's how I felt it was.
Well, if you read the letter that we found in the bottle.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And if you read that letter, it basically tells you what the end game would have been.
Enlightenment. Reaching enlightenment is how I've...
I think enlightenment for everybody.
Yeah. Mm. But when you got to the end of the book and you were presented with the option of learning the truth or the real truth, because it feels to me like because you hadn't quite got things right beforehand, they weren't going to tell you what the real truth... I mean, they said it was incomprehensible to humans anyway.
It says.
But that it feels to me like the truth or the real truth would have brought that enlightenment, which... Because the tasks didn't go 100% correctly, rather than just giving you that enlightenment, they sort of said, well, you're going to have to come up with that in your own efforts. Mm-hmm. Does that sound true to you?
To a degree, but unfortunately, I mean, everybody's an individual and everybody has reached a certain level of understanding. Obviously, my understanding would have been different to some of the other people in the group who maybe not had my experience or done the research that I had done when I was young. And I mean, when I was 21, I opened my third eye through meditational techniques. And that was, for me, an absolutely incredible experience. I mean, I won't go into it now. But I would hazard the guess there isn't that many people on the planet so far who've probably had that experience. And again, from my understanding, everybody reaches a certain level of understanding while they're in this physical existence, and then they move on and they come back and obviously they evolve. And so maybe the time wasn't right. You just don't know with this sort of phenomena. And my own personal feeling is that, you know, you asked me earlier on about do I believe in religion? I'm not a Roman Catholic anymore, I can tell you that now, because of what I've experienced.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through that phase and I left that behind. And I followed the mystical route, which opened me up to a lot of different experiences. And my own personal feeling is that there is something beyond comprehension. I call it the intelligence, which I believe was behind the Mia Nye thing, the Mia Nye experience. Some people thought differently, but that's my own personal belief.
Yeah.
And this thing about reaching enlightenment, I think everybody will reach that sooner or later. And I think that is what we are trying to experience at this particular moment in time.
I think as that is a good collective aim for humanity, really, isn't it?
Yeah, the great initiation, as they call it, for everybody.
Yeah.
Whether it'll come along at the moment, I don't know. There are certain, I think there are certain aspects of the population who do not want that to happen.
Mm. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And we won't go into it. You probably understand that now anyway.
Yes. I think it's important to make a distinction between whether you want to enlighten yourself to knowledge or chase money and greed.
Yeah,
you know, and there's too much greed and power in the world, and people don't really want to be enlightened anymore, do they?
Mm-hmm. No, you are right.
Some don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some don't.
So it's quite clear to me that this thing is, like you said, we can't comprehend it. This thing is so big that me and you, because we haven't gone through what Joe's gone through, we can't comprehend what kind of level he's talking about.
Exactly.
So with that, has this whole experience of the Me and Aya group, has it kind of changed you as a person, like today? Like, do you see things really differently?
Probably in a lot of respects, because of the experience that I had, but my own personal experience also altered my thinking patterns. And again, I could talk to you about that maybe at another time. But yeah, it certainly has. And to understand that this Me and Aya thing has been going on for centuries, if not thousands of years, it just makes you understand that, you know, it is something far beyond what I thought of it at the beginning. And that's why I wrote the book, to make people understand the Me and Aya story, but also that there's far, far more behind that story than even I really probably understand myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. And you mentioned you wanted to ask this question earlier, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Have you tried to pursue the Me and Aya experience furthermore since sort of the events that ended in this book? Or... I can't remember who it was. Was it Margaret? Was it Pan or Margaret? I can't remember. That said you wouldn't be receiving any more communications, any more guidance.
That was Margaret, yes.
Have you left it at that, or have you still tried to look into it and research it and, you know, find out more?
To a degree. I don't want to go into that at the moment. But I basically followed my own path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's
which is all that you can do.
Yeah.
I follow my own intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you still see or know or speak to any of the other group of the Me and Aya?
There's a group called Me and Aya Musings, which some of the what's left of the Me and Aya group. I mean, I know Graeme Phillips is on there, and I'm on there as well. And there's probably, I think, only us two on this Me and Aya Musings. But it's just people who know about Me and Aya and might have been involved in some aspect, you know, probably during the 70s and 80s, you know, before I met them.
Yeah. I want to know what happened to the girl. Was it Florence? There was a young one,
Gaynor.
No, the one that she got scared and left.
Oh, yes.
What was her name?
Cheska.
Is it? Yeah, Francesca. Yeah,
was she actually only there for that one night?
From what I understand, yeah.
So that was the attack of the ring wraiths, wasn't it?
Mm.
And she was brand new to the group that night, but as far as I can tell, she's never mentioned again after that chapter.
There was oh, hello.
Yeah, are you there?
Oh, hello.
Right. Yeah, I'm there. Yeah, Cheska. I've only ever met her the once on that night, but I know she was an artist. And what I discovered is that there was another group down London who were doing similar sort of things, and they were being led by from what I understand, Andrew Collins, who had left the group from the Midlands. There seemed to be two things going on at the same time. Whether she was a member of that particular group, I've no idea. But I've never met her since then, so I can't really expand on that.
Okay, fair enough.
That's fair.
And there was one chapter,
But can I just say something?
Yeah, yeah.
On that particular chapter where Cheska was there, the phenomena was, well, apart from when we opened these dimensional doorways, but the phenomena that happened that night, you had to be there to believe it. Mm-hmm. When you've got tables levitating 4 feet in the air and trying to smack you out of the circle, the salt circle. I mean, on that last time, you know, it rose up 4 times, this table, then, and it smacked me so hard, and I had to let go of Graham's hand, you know, trying to keep him in the circle. Mm-hmm. And he just yanked it, he just flew backwards, you know.
Possibly because of you broke the connection, that's what allowed the racing.
I had to because I was trying. The third time the table left, I basically broke the connection there because I knew I couldn't hold on to him. So I grabbed onto the back of his neck and slammed onto the table. The fourth time, there's no way I could have held on to him.
Yeah.
And like that, he just went and flew backwards.
Yeah.
And you have to be there to understand that.
I think you did a very good description of it in the book. I personally really loved that chapter, why I spent so long on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I can appreciate is...
Yeah, you have to be there to believe it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I appreciate about your book is when Pirate's describing and reading the chapters and things, I'm kind of taking it in and I'm trying to visualise it, but... I don't think we can fully visualize it because we're not there. We can't appreciate it. And the one for me was what was it towards the end? Was it Graham that was running and jumping, trying to grab?
Oh, the core.
The core. That was it.
From within the pillar. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that whole thing just seemed so crazy to me that you've created this kind of circle. And I imagine to anyone looking in, it would just look like a guy is just running through
jumping
the air.
Jumping on a sofa, yeah.
But because, like you said, we're not there, we can't experience the energy. We don't know actually how the room feels. We don't know. You could be seeing something completely different to an outsider looking.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
In.
One of the things I actually appreciated about that particular event mm-hmm. was actually the way, Joe, you said that when he opened his hand, he was holding this little sort of Perspex-looking cube, and you said it looked ultimately very unremarkable, which kind of, to me, brings more of the realism, because you think, oh, it'd be like a gold cross encrusted with crystals and gemstones and stuff, and no, it's just some little Perspex cube, but apparently that's really important to the cause. And but to me, that actually enhances the experience.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when I first saw what the hell is that? You know, so as I say, it was so pathetic looking, you know.
And that's the other thing I really liked in the book is the fact that you own up to all the mistakes that you made along the way. You don't try to cover it up. You say, yeah, we did mess up on this bit, but it led us to this, and we managed to obtain this artifact because we went down the wrong path or things like that. And I like the honesty in it and the fact that you said, yeah, we did mess up, but you know, we got there eventually, and I appreciate that. I think that's awesome.
One thing, because you mentioned you're still friends with Graham, and he's in your Me and I group. Obviously, I think, I love the story, but I think one of the things that some people find hard to believe is the whole thing that, you know, you gather in a group, and then someone goes into a trance, you get given information, and then suddenly the whole thing leads on from there. And it seems very easy that has happened, if you know what I mean. Now, the way I've tried to explain it to Josh and to our listeners is that you were a particular group of people chosen for your abilities or your sensitivities, you know, your intuition. Do you think that is very much a case? Because I think that people find it hard to believe when something happens that easily. You know, you all meet up for the night, someone goes into a trance, and then get up, right, this next series of events happens. I mean, can you expand on that a little bit? Or is that just a difficult point to expand on?
I think every individual has a certain something within them that was probably needed for that particular, for the Me and I event to take place, because we had to be as one.
Yeah.
For things to occur. And whether that's to do with your own personal energy or, you know, the way that you've evolved, and, you know, I just don't know. But that's all I can say. Mm. To be as one, you had to be. This energy that each of us had to basically blend in together. And it appeared that it did.
That makes more sense.
So it very much was that as individuals, you're contributing to this unified force, if you like, that's, you know, magnifying the energies and helping you to concentrate those energies where you need them at the time to complete your task, or not complete them sometimes.
Yeah. But that makes more sense now to me, because you mentioned the bit where about, was it Graham talking about God and what it was? And yeah. he said,
I think that was Terry. Yeah. When they were asked what they thought the Mianaya, Mianaya was. And he said, well, we've all got different ideas, but essentially we all think it's God. And then he had to argue because the spirit didn't think that they were unified, but
that makes more sense now that you've said that.
Yeah.
I've got a little silly question for you, Joe, that I've got to bring it up. So on the third and final part of our coverage of the book, I got right up to the bit where it was
the legacy. With the introduction of the legacy. It was where you started falling behind a little bit.
Yeah, I was struggling to keep up with it a little bit, because it was so fast paced at one point, and this happened and that happened. And the bit that I kind of got lost with was you needed mint to place upon
on the
box.
Yeah, Graham, you didn't have any mint. So Graham went upstairs, came down with some toothpaste, and scrawled a Celtic cross on the box.
Yes. And I want to know, what would have happened if it was like actual mint? Do you think you would have had a different result, or were you supposed to have the toothpaste? Does that make sense?
Yeah, was mint just a clue to use the toothpaste, or was that a substitute for what you should have used?
Shall I tell you, I've no idea. It's something I've not even crossed my mind. All I can remember of that night, well, I remember lots of stuff actually, but on that particular element, when they brought the box in, they asked the mint and said they haven't got any. And Graham thought, in his trance state, he went upstairs and got this tube of toothpaste and he brought it down. And, yeah, the connection, I didn't make the connection, obviously. but it appeared to work because when he drew this symbol, it was actually telling his Italian Pat's own toothpaste. It wasn't something that Graham had brought in.
No, he just found it in the house. Yeah.
So when he came down and scrawled this design on this big large black tin, and I thought, it's bloody glowing. You know, it's ultraviolet light. I thought, what the hell is in there? You know, to make this toothpaste glow. You know, and it was ultraviolet light coming out of this thing.
Right.
Mm. It was really, really odd. Really odd. And I couldn't make head or tail of it, but it was just fascinating just to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask you, I've just reminded myself of another one. I've got to ask you, I bet you were really gutted when the sarcastic comment was made and next week's groceries were delivered.
I bet. I tell you.
how did you actually feel at that moment?
I bet you could have swung for him, couldn't you?
Yeah. Dude. But to me, it just goes to show that what everybody wants, you know, everybody will have their own personal opinion about what happened on that particular night. All I know is prior to this, when Graham, what was it, Teddy? I think Teddy might have taken the box and put it at the far corner of his room. And Gaynor went up to and opened the box, and this incredible rose pink light came out of it. And I thought, I knew what it was, as far as my understanding was, what it represented. And where this thing had been placed. And when she started taking out these artifacts, amazing. You know, in the dark, I couldn't tell, you know, that they were solid gold. You can see, you know, in the rose pink line, you can see that they were gold in the description. But when she put them back in again, and we shut the tin, and that night, I thought that we were going to open it back up again, but we didn't. Graham and Gaynor took it back and put it somewhere. And they came back, a week later, and we opened it up. There was
tins of peas.
Tin food in there. Yeah, tin food in there. And I thought, so hang on, has Graham, have they taken the flaming gold out of this? Mm. You know, these things. I thought, no, they wouldn't have done that. Absolutely no chance, not with the me and I things going on. So my own personal belief is that happened on that particular night. Something happened and it got changed. How it got changed, I don't know. But it just made me realise that whatever was behind this, the power it has is phenomenal.
Mm, yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
To be able to, it's like a transubstantiation of one thing into another, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
To be honest, that was one of the things that absolutely... It kind of infuriated me about this book. Because, in all honesty, Joe, Graham was kind of your lead medium, if you like. He was the guy giving the instructions, telling you where you've got to go, through the Tree of Life and all that sort of thing. He should have known better than to make a sarcastic comment when asked... Do you want your legacy? You know, considering like earlier in the book when they asked what do you think me and Naya is, and they're saying, well, we've got a difference of opinion, but it's God, and then they had to argue that point to actually get to the next stage. You'd have thought Graham should have known better than just to make a sarcastic comment going, oh, well, next week's shopping would be nice. You know, you have to be direct with these spirits, otherwise you're getting nowhere. And that was one of the things that actually, it did kind of infuriate me the first time I read this book. I was like, how can you be so naive and, you know, so knowledgeable about all this at the same time? I mean,
my own personal feeling that it was meant to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you think that again leads us back round to this revolution that the me and I occurrences haven't finished yet? Yours was maybe not the end game that yet to happen.
Yeah, I think there's more going on, and possibility that there's another group being set up somewhere, you know, by whatever you want to call it, the spirits or whatever, or the intelligence My own personal feeling is that this thing that I call intelligence is what people call the creator. It yeah. is the one prime manifestation. And because to do and orchestrate what happened in the Me and I group, you've got to have some sort, you've got to be extremely powerful to be able to do and organize, you know, what we saw yeah, definitely. And what occurred within the group.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, it's way, way beyond religion. It's way beyond mysticism, to tell the truth.
Yeah.
There's something so extremely powerful that I believe orchestrated all this, and he's still orchestrating this as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going on. It's yet to have its final chapter, mm-hmm. really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I will say, when at the end of the last episode, I was a little bit sceptical. Obviously, like, I think some people would naturally be a little bit sceptical. But then when we actually discussed it after the podcast and got into a really good discussion about it, I actually said, you know what, there has to be some truth behind it. There has to be.
So there's got to be.
There's got to be, because you've got the artifacts. And obviously you're speaking through your experience. But even the stuff in the book that you've got pictures of and things that have happened, you have the evidence there. So for the people out there that think it is a load of rubbish, it can't be, because there is some truth right. behind it. Do you know what I mean? So I just want to say that my apologies for being so skeptical at one point, but I think after talking to you today and actually having a good discussion with Pirate after the last episode, I have to say, I think my mind has opened a lot more. And obviously I can't comprehend what you went through and what we're, you know, this higher power that you're talking about, but I do feel like there is something there that I can't work out. I can't comprehend.
There's something still there, actually. This is one question that I have to ask, because we did make a bit of a big deal about it in the last episode, is did anybody go back to the pond and look for the chalice?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I've been back there.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Thanks God for that, because we literally, there's no more mention of it in the book, and we were like, how could you just leave it there? Get a fishing net, get anything, you know, just go back, get some waders on, you know, try something. But you did.
It's unfortunately, it's on private land for the start. And I have attempted this. But remember, it's nearly 40 years on. It's probably lying in the silt somewhere, you know.
Unless it's been dematerialized and it's now gone back to the greater universe and will again be a part of me and I in the future.
Yeah, it's difficult. If it is still in there, which I still think it is, it's difficult. It will be difficult to retrieve.
Yeah, it would be, because it's not metal. You can't use a metal detector to find it, or a magnet or anything like that. I mean, is this portrait on the front of the book, is this an accurate representation of that chalice, or is that just an artist's?
No. I wanted to try and find a replica of the, you know, obviously I've still got it in the memory, you know, and try to find a replica, but it's quite plain and simple in a lot of respects, but I really couldn't find anything that fitted the bill. And the chap at the front part of the book, Chris, he came up with this idea. He found this glass, a photograph of this glass chalice, and he showed it to him. He said, yeah, that fits the bill, because it's glass, you can see through it. But what he did then, I asked him to put the coloured gems
on. Yeah, the coloured gemstones.
So he represented the Tree of Life. And I think he's done a fantastic job.
The castle
that you see behind is Stafford Castle.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, where you had the first
premonition of the chalice.
I think it really did a really good job with the front piece.
It's good. So, we're nearly coming to a close now, because we're at 35 minutes. It's just one more question that I wanted to ask. Did you self-publish this book, or were you tied to a publisher?
No, I shall probably start.
So nobody has told you to add any extra or take anything out that they didn't feel that you know, was approved?
That's what I didn't want.
Yeah.
So you've had complete creative control of this work?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well done.
Yeah, very impressive.
It is a very impressive book. And one of the things that we do on almost all of our episodes is we've got what we call a paranormality scale, where we rate the believability of things or how much we like it sometimes, or how paranormal we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to put this to the paranormality scale, if that's okay with you, Joe.
That's fine.
I'll kick it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like the book. I do think there are some parts of it that are hard to get your head around, that are kind of outwardly unbelievable. Unless you're in tune with this sort of thing, if you believe in it, you know, if you've got an open mind, it's very hard to get your head around and to believe in it. So I'm going to bring it down a couple of notches for that reason. No offence, Joe, at all. It's just, obviously we're trying to relate this for the public as well who've not read it, but as a compelling story, I think it's absolutely brilliant. I'm so glad that I was introduced to this book and I had the chance to read it twice now, and after speaking to you as well yourself, Joe, and how now you've cleared up a few things for both me and Josh that we've been kind of arguing a little bit about. I'm going to give it a 7.7.
7.7?
Yeah. I think you'll probably be a little bit lower.
The thing is, I feel like I want to read it now to get all the...
All the information that you missed.
Yeah, because obviously we had to condense it down into three episodes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things there that you've tried to explain to me and I still can't wrap my head around it. But whereas I feel like... If I actually take the time myself to read it, I feel like I could possibly get on better with it. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I've said before, I really loved the actual book and the story.
Itself, yeah.
It's got everything you want in there. It's got dimensions, spirits, all sorts. It's like Joe said, I can't wrap my head around it. I can't.
No, you can't. Without, like he says, without being there, you're never going to really believe in it 100% yourself, are you?
And I kind of wish I had these powers because there was parts where you were explaining it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to join this group. I want to be there and find this kind of thing. Like, this is awesome. But no, after talking to Joe as well, that's actually changed my mind a little bit on certain things, and I'm actually going to boost it higher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was originally going to go, you know, around the 6 range because I am a little bit skeptical, like I am with everything, with ghosts and aliens. Unfortunately, I am a bit skeptical.
You are more the skeptical one.
But the fact that Joe is here and he's saying, you know, like it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Yeah. That's intrigued me more. Where I'm like, I want to know more. So I'm going to give it a 7.5. I'm going to give it the same as you.
Okay,
I'm going to give it that higher range, but I feel like I need to read it. And I want to research more on the Mianaya. It really intrigues me.
The other people out there do feel the same as you, as our listeners. We have plugged this already, Joe. You can get it on Amazon, obviously. We actually have an affiliate link with Amazon. So I'm sorry, Joe, but we might be stealing a little bit of your profit there if people follow that link. But this book is available on Amazon. There will be a link in the description. And actual fact, I think I'd like to do a giveaway of this book. So you're not going to get the chance to read it.
Oh.
So if you at home would like our copy, my copy that I actually read to Josh, to yourselves at home, me and Josh will sign it, get on our Discord and, I don't know, go in the off-topic section, I guess, and say, send me that book. And we will pick someone at random and someone will win our copy of The Chronicles of Mianaya.
But they have to tell us their review on it and their paranormality scale.
Yeah, there. Why not? Why not? And yeah, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to give away my copy of the book, and then I might buy it again. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on today, Joe, and telling us your story, and obviously backing up everything that you've written down already. And thank you so much for your amazing work on the book.
Mm. Thank you for opening my mind a little bit more as well.
There's just one thing I'd like to say to you, which I always say to people, that people think that these things happen, you know, the psychic stuff happens and it goes away and, you know, you have all these things going on. But all I can say to you is that nothing is separate. Nothing happens. Everything happens for a reason. Nothing is separate, you know.
Everything is intertwined, everything, isn't it?
Everything is intertwined. And yeah, that's from my own experiences that I've had. And so, yeah, everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens without a reason. And everything is intertwined. Everything is intertwined.
Yeah,
that fits closely with my personal beliefs, to be honest. So, yeah, I can get 100% on board with that, Joe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I'm a big believer.
I can go further, but I won't. But I have another chat another time. Yeah. Well, at the moment, I'm rewriting the second part of the Chronicles, and it basically starts from where the book finishes.
Okay.
It's my own personal journey that I was really meant to do, but at the time, like I say, it's so deep. I don't think a lot of people would have understood it. And it's to do with my position on the Tree of Life, to do with knowledge and also intuition.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I actually
if I manage to do it, I'll let you know.
Yes, well, please do.
If you manage to get it completed and published, then please let us know. We'll have you back on, and I'll read your next book. And yeah, we'd love to get you back to discuss some more of this stuff.
But it's a completely different read.
I read all sorts of stuff, Joe. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Nice to meet
you. Lovely to have you on, Joe. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And yeah. We'll
bye,
do.
Bye, just draw, mate.
Goodbye, Joe. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And if you at home have enjoyed the series, again, obviously, you can buy the book for yourselves. Please do enjoy it. Give it a read. Let us know what you think of it. Do you agree with our paranormality score? Do you think it's lower? Do you think it's higher? You know, let us know what you think, and please do enter our little competition so you can win my own copy, and we will both sign it and send it to you. So as a little piece of memorabilia, if you've enjoyed this episode, and until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh,
and this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
So good, so good, so good.
Just in and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
Because I've been looking for these.
Because the best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off. Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses. plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.